The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
This morning, obviously, we know the topic. The topic will be, God doesn't play favorites, does He? Do we play favorites? And today's scripture, I will be reading out of Genesis 25. Genesis chapter 25. And I will be starting at verse 24. And it says this: So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. That is our text this morning. Our focus is verse 28, where it says, Isaac, who had a taste for the wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Here's a perfect illustration and an issue of favoritism. But my question was, does God also play favorites with His people? We can even contemplate or ponder or even wonder, well, why did He choose the Israelites from the beginning of time and not all nations? Well, first of all, I believe is that the Israelites were probably the lowest of the totem pole then. They had the lowest jobs, not very well recognized people, not well liked. And I believe God always chooses the underdog. He always chooses those that are probably at the lowest of the totem pole. But God is neutral, and He loves us all. And I love the song we're going to end with. I hope it could be our prayer this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this morning and Your message. Speak to us. I pray Your Holy Spirit would just come and fill this place. Take control of our minds, our thoughts, our lives, God. Help us to hear from You this morning. We trust You and we love You. Have Your way with us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have a story of a mother and a father and two boys on the subject of favoritism. Favoritism has hit us all at all levels, all ages, all walks of life, all people, all races. I believe we've all struggled with favoritism in this room. You and I alike, at some point or another, in some fashion, form, or shape. Amen? I guess there's no one that has favoritism in here but me. Even communities have this problem. Even nations. If you did your history and did your Bible studying a little bit deeper, God told Rebekah there was two nations in her womb. Two of these nations even tie back to the Arabs and the Iranians, which has been battling till today. Nations are at rage, at battle, because of favoritism. Amen? And I have struggled with favoritism. Favoritism will divide families, friendships, and relationships. This is a battle that has been from the beginning of time. And we'll read it right now in Genesis 3:15, if we may put the slide there. Way back in the beginning, there it is, Genesis 3:15. And this is God speaking. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's speaking to the serpent here in the garden when sin came in. And between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. There's where it all kind of came in. Division, favoritism. I'm going to drill this word favoritism all morning so we kind of get the grasp of it. The next text, even in Luke, Jesus brings it up. Look what it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 5. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? Because we've preached it over and over to you, congregation, that you become a Christian, it's all pretty and nice. No, it isn't. You come into a spiritual battle. First of all, a fight for your own walk and soul, to be an example to all those around you, and then your loved ones. And there it is. Jesus starts out, I did not come for that, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Do we see that a lot today? A lot of homes struggle with this. I lived in a home like that. We struggle with that as a family. You know what parents make is mistakes? Even myself as a parent, I made it as well as an adult. And I learned it through scripture that my parents made mistakes. Because we're not perfect. When you start favoring one child more than the other, you will have problems. It will cause divisions. It will cause splits. And you grow up at times with some kind of resentment and hurt. Then when you become a parent, it kind of flares out and you do the same thing. It's a repetitive thing. I always share my sermons with my wife. Like I told you, we talked about it a little bit this morning. And those are chains that need to be broken. And all I've done is study to know, okay, how can I not practice this favoritism? Because even as a Christian, I did this. I've shared it with you before. When we came to Christ as a family, I had my biological daughter and my two stepdaughters coming into my new family. And I would just favor her when she would come over. And I would just sidekick the other two. I would just focus on my daughter. Yeah, I love my two stepdaughters. They were there. But my heart was more this way. Why? Because I raised her. I trained her up, and then I moved out of her life. And then here she comes back into my home, and I was just focused on her. And it brought a lot of hurt and pain to my wife and my two stepdaughters as I started training them up. And God spoke to me clearly, Frank, you're wrong. The Holy Spirit came convicting me. And that's why I had to sit all three of them down and tell them, look, girls, I love you all the same. It hurt my daughter. And some of my family to this day don't understand it. And of course, some of them don't know Christ. But it's the battle we got to go through because we got to stand on what God says, God's values, God's statutes, God's word. We shouldn't have favoritism. It will cause problems. It will do splits. And see, as soon as one comes to Christ, immediately the conflict begins. And we'll find it in Galatians 5:17 here in our next slide. Look at what it says. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. That's the battle. And as humans, as young ones, as adults, we're going to struggle with favoritism. And there it is. That's why. When you make a decision for Christ, things need to start changing. We need to start to clean that closet out, amen? There's a lot of stuff in there. And I'm one of them. We carry stuff. We hold stuff. Humans can be that way, and that's your flesh, our fleshly nature, our old nature. But when you come to Christ, this favoritism needs to stop. We need to get into the scriptures and see what it tells us. And we're going to read some more scriptures that tells us what it is and how to define it. The definition, I found this for favoritism. It says this, the favoring of one person or group over others, partiality, a snob. It actually said that. I got that out of the dictionary. It said snob, so I threw it in there. We can be snobbed sometimes with favoritism. One who favors a position, rank, or popularity, or circumstances of a person. Sometimes we meet someone and we think they're cool and we want to hang out with them and we're kind of kicking the others to the curb. Or we forget that other friendship and we move on with others because they're the more in crowd or the more in person. Or they got the look, they got the stuff, or maybe they have money and they don't, your other friends don't. Christ loves us all. Christ wants us to get along with everyone. And when you make that choice, this favoritism needs to stop. Favoritism is not a good thing. It will bring situations that are going to be hard in life. See, God doesn't play favorites. Or does he? Let's read these next scriptures. If you would put them up there for me, please. Genesis 4, 3 to 4. Look what it says. In the course of the time, Cain brought some of the first fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. This is the story of Cain and Abel. Again, I like to go to the beginning because we need to go to the beginning and work our way through. So it all falls into context. But Abel brought the fat portions, the little brother, from some of the first fruits born of his flock. The Lord looked with what? Favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Wait a minute. I just opened up with God doesn't play favors, didn't I? What can we grasp from that? So does God play favorites? Maybe he does. Let's look at the next scripture I found. I think I found four. We're going to go through them real quick. Genesis 6, 8. But Noah found what? Favor in the eyes of the Lord. What? Wait a minute. Frank, I think you got it all mixed up. You can't open up with God doesn't play favors, and we're reading God found favor. One more scripture. Is there one more? I think there's two more. We'll go through the next one. Look what the next one says. Genesis 19, 19. Your servant has found what? Favor in your eyes. And you have shown him great kindness. You have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. God gave favor there. The next one, please. I think there's one more. And I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably, hello, on you. They will give you gifts when you go, as you will not leave empty-handed. This is when the Israelites left Egypt, and God set them free from the life of bondage in Egypt. There's the favor again. God even made the Egyptians sick of the Israelites. Here, take our stuff too. Please get out of here. This God really loves you guys. This is a nugget. Grasp it. First of all, when you read texts like this, and we're talking about God doesn't play favorites, and we're reading God is favoring people here and a nation there of Israelites, we need to go back to the language. The first verse I put up there in the garden where Cain kills Abel, and it said he had more favor over Abel's than Cain's, that word in the Hebrew is pronounced sha'ah, which just means he respected what one boy brought over the others. Because the one boy went out of his way and got the very best fruits and brought them to God. When Cain said, I'll just take him this and he'll be good with that. Abel gave it all. He got the best animal, the best he can give to God and brought it. Cain didn't really care. He just brought whatever. See, there's a difference. It doesn't mean the favoritism we use normally or live or experience. It's pronounced sha'ah, which just means to respect. In the last three verses I showed where God was giving favor and saw favor in people and in the Egyptians here, the word favorable is pronounced kaneh. And that means just to have grace over or to kind of just help out. Not the favoritism we're talking about, because we can real easy read into these texts and say, well, God does favor people. He helped them. But he didn't favor them. He just helped them. He respected them. He gave grace. And he gives us grace every day. So I believe as Christians, if you're a Christian in this room, we can work and practice not. God speaks loud. He wanted you to hear not. Not to practice favoritism. That wasn't my fault. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. That's going to get their attention on the radio. Wow. And I have a cold and they got me. God doesn't want us to practice favoritism. I told Jerry I'm going to practice standing here. I cannot stand still when I speak God's word. It is so difficult for me because it's so real and alive to me. I'm worshiping this morning and I'm watching you guys. I go, God, wake them up. Put a passion. Help them be excited to come to church. You know, we can get excited for other things during the week. We can't even sleep at night to go watch a game, a movie. I don't know. Sunday should be the most exciting day. Here I have a cold. Praise God. Give it to God. Don't clap to me. He excites me. He puts it in me to kind of push it on you so it flows. You should be excited for God and say, yes, God, I'm glad you're speaking to me, and I don't want this favoritism. What does Frank have to say? What does Jerry have to say? What does Jeremiah have to say this Sunday? I can't wait to get there. Nothing wrong with being excited for a Sunday game. That we better hurry up. We've got to get to the game. Some of you are probably recording it. Get excited for God too, and you'll see him work in you. He does give favor in a form, in a sense of the Hebrew language, where he'll give you respect, he'll give you grace, he'll honor you, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But many Christians struggle with favoritism, and they're wondering, what's going on in my life? Why doesn't God hear me? He hears you, but we're not walking right before him at times and showing favoritism. It's not going to work that way. God doesn't work that way. He showed it to me in my life, in my past as a youngster, growing up. Mom and dad were favoring certain sons and certain daughters. And I grew up with some sort of resentment, and I vented it through drug use and partying and disrespecting my parents and not listening to no one but me. They'll grow in different forms and fashions as you're growing up. Young ones, talk with your parents. Hey, mom, hey, dad, you know, I kind of see this. Share it with them. They should understand they're adults. Adults, talk with your young ones. Tell them how you feel. And you can't stop this favoritism. I shared it with my family. I preached it to my mom and dad and my oldest brother one Sunday afternoon, and they grasped it. It clicked for mom and dad. They didn't feel bad. I mean, you can't fix it anymore. But now they're understanding as I share with them and I tell them about favoritism and what Christ can do in homes. They couldn't understand how I quit drugs. They think it was all my own doing. My mom and dad, oh, you're a strong man. That's why you were able to quit 20 years of drug use and partying, all the stuff you did. It was, you know, it wasn't me, mom. It wasn't me, dad. It was God's word and his spirit and his power that transforms lives. Then he needed to work on my favoritism, because when I came into my new family with my wife and new daughters-to-be, I needed some areas to be worked on, and one of them was favoritism. And God worked on it quick, because the minute my daughter started visiting, he spoke to me right away. Why? Because I was in his word. I was seeking, God, how can I fix this? The word should convict us. You see, Jeremiah is not up there, but Jeremiah 23:29 says this. The Lord says this. Is not my word like a fire? The Lord declares. I had to memorize this one. And it goes on in Jeremiah 23:29. He says, is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Folks, God is laying down the hammer this morning. He lays down the hammer every day in your life. You got to stop this. He's letting the hammer down. Write it down. Jeremiah 23:29. Go home and read it. It's right there. I wrote it out, like I tell you, on my calendar at work. I read it every morning. That's why I memorized it. My wife asked me, honey, how do you memorize verses? I write them where I'm going to sit the most all day. That's where I'll put it in my face. Put God's word in your face. You'll see him work in your life. Carry a little card around. If you want to grow in Christ, if you really want to witness to that person, I got to stay away from that area. Gets really loud over there. God will speak louder over there. If you really want to. If you really want to break this favoritism, or there's maybe someone you know that's struggling with this, a home, a friend, I don't know, someone at work, it can be done, folks. I see it a lot at work. Guys are seeking position and power and telling everyone what to do. They'll come to me, I kind of have a little position on 1 year. God's done it. I've shared it with you. They don't understand how I have my own 2 offices now, computers, they've bought everything new for me. I didn't ask for a thing. It was God's favor. But God was respecting how honorably and humbly I went into this company, just wanting to serve. You start serving and you'll see God work in your life. You start giving your heart to God and telling them, God, I'm doing this for you, not for that man, not for that woman, not to impress no one. I'm going to do it to please you. The word kane also means to please. God was saying, I'm pleased with you. I'm glad you're doing these things and you're living for me. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you out. It looks like you're not going to make it. It looks like you not might get over this favoritism. God, I'm going to help you. But it's going to hurt a little bit because what? Jeremiah 23:29. His word's like a hammer, folks. It's not easy. It hasn't been easy with this situation me and my wife find ourselves in her physical state. But we praise God every day. We are thankful she's still alive and kicking and praising Jesus more than me. She inspires me, my wife, every day. I told a good friend this morning, I don't have that much space to pout. One look at my wife, and she's smiling. I'm like, what do I have to complain about? You know? God will use other people around you to inspire you, to push you a little bit, to wake you up. God's word is a fire, folks, a fire. Again, read Jeremiah 23:29. His word like a fire. It wants to burn everything that shouldn't be there. Did you know, in God's eyes, we're like gold. And you know what a goldsmith does when he gets gold to purify it? Most of you know, he burns it, puts it in this big pot, throws all the gold in there, and lights it on fire, right, and melts. You know when the goldsmith knows the gold is ready? All this black tarsh comes out of this gold, just like God working on us, taking all that stuff out, including favoritism. And he's stirring it and looking in our lives. Quite ready yet, ain't quite ready yet. You know when the goldsmith knows the gold is pure? He looks in there and he can see his reflection. See, God wants to see you and reflect him. He's just like a goldsmith. And this favoritism, it needs to go. I've lived it as a young man, and I experienced it as a parent. And it was awful. It was ugly. It was hurting. But God taught me. And now I'm practicing it. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, from Matthew 5 all the way to the endings of chapter 7, and at the very end, I like what he says. Everything he says, all these things, practice them. Christianity is practicing it. You don't get there. It's every day working at it. Every day you got to work at it. Whatever you're struggling with, just tell God, I don't want this. Take your hammer, Lord. I know it's going to hurt, but go ahead. Hammer time. Just like MC Hammer said, hammer time. I don't go there no more, but I kind of liked the song at one time. But it makes sense now. It's going to hurt, folks. Parents, young ones. Talk about it. Tell your parents. Tell your young ones. Sit down and talk. Sometimes you won't end up in agreement. Scripture's clear on that. You don't have to agree, but you can practice it. You can work at it. And I went way off base on my sermon. Well, I don't know where I went. I probably put this. People favor economic distinctions over a brand of car, clothing, appliances, laundry soap, girls. Some are partial to stocks and bonds, while others prefer to invest in land, gold, or commodities. Such preferences are usually just personal opinions due to habit, because we are creatures of habit. I have said this before to up here. Some of you have heard me. Ladies, whenever you start your makeup, you start at a certain spot all the time. Check yourself out next time. Analyze it. Guys, when we're going to shave, I know you guys start at one side all the time. I know I do. I always start right here. This is my first stroke. You all sleep a certain way. We have habits. And favoritism is one that needs to go. That's not a good habit. It's not a good statue to have in our lives. Amen? God doesn't play favorites. God does not play favorites. We read some scriptures. It says favor, but it's not the favoritism we know of. But now we know in Hebrew what it really meant in the text then and what it should mean to us now. God favors all of us. He loves you all. But we need to work on this favoritism thing. It's got to come out of your house first. Everything starts in the home. Because as a child, that's where I grew up and learned everything I know. And I learned a lot of favoritism, trust me. So I brought it into my adulthood, and I favored some of my children, which was wrong. But through God's word, I learned what was proper in God's eyes to please him and get his Hebrew favor to please him. Kane, to please him. There are many other kinds of favoritisms, and if one keeps an eye out for them, we will start to spot them. Favoritism is part of an undesirable part of the human condition. So it's not surprising that the Bible presents so many illustrations of favoritism. You know how many times I found it in Scripture, favor, favorable, favoritism? Over 146 times. So it's a pretty important topic. It's something God wants us to work in, on. Old Testament, New Testament, today, right now. Some of you are probably facing it, living it, struggling with it. Give it to the Lord. Let him work in you. Let him do his hammer time. Let's see some biblical examples of why God provides dozens of examples for us to learn from. Amen? Let's look at Genesis 4:8. Genesis 4:8. You can skip that one. There it is. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Why? Because his attitude was wrong when he saw God favor his brother. That's what happened in that story. Instead of saying, you know what, okay, God was pleased, he should have thought, instead of favored him, oh, you know, I'm going to work harder in my area then. I'm going to work a little harder to please God too. When you see others maybe growing or flourishing or being blessed, work harder at it too. God wants to bless you too. And he wants you to let go of that favoritism so your home can be at some kind of peace. It'll never be at a perfect peace because shoes and pots and pans will always fly. At times in some homes. I know I grew up in homes where my mom was to make tortillas. I said this before. She flung it at my brother because he back-mouthed her, and I looked up and I got clocked. Crossfire, never be there. Don't be in the middle of stuff. But it'll happen. It'll happen. So there it is. Cain had the wrong attitude. He could have worked a little bit harder and said, you know what, God, I didn't bring my best. I'm going to go work on this. I need to work on this. Instead of that, he said, you know what? You like him more than me. You favored him. I'm going to take him out. And he killed his own brother. People are still killing each other over favoritism. I said it in the beginning. There's nations killing each other because of favoritism. The next scripture, Genesis 25, 28. Here's another example. Genesis 25, 28. Didn't make it in. What's the next one? Genesis 30 and 1. It stops there. Genesis 25 and 28 is this morning's scripture. When these two twins were born, Esau came out first. But the little brother was holding the older brother's ankle. And that meant that that little brother was going to control the older brother. I grew up in a home where us younger ones would control the older ones. And it came into my new life where the younger one always bosses the older one around. That's what that meant. The younger ones are pretty hard. They always want to control the older one. Am I right or am I wrong? I can't be wrong because it's biblical. So this little brother had an issue with this older brother. See? Favoritism. And a lot of times we grew up seeing our older sister, older brother, wanted to be like them. I played drums because as a little boy, I watched my oldest brother play drums all the time. I was like, oh, I want to be like him. He's good. And he's still good. He just doesn't know Christ, but he's an excellent drummer. But when I became a Christian, there was always competition. Who's better, you or him? Oh, you're better. Steve's better. When I came to Christ, it didn't matter anymore. I didn't care who was better. I cared that my heart was right before God, and I knew why I was drumming. I drummed for the Lord, not to impress no one or when you're here on Sundays. Please don't put your focus. Focus on the words and focus in your heart. Absorb what you're hearing, but let that favoritism come out. And worship God with your heart. Let him work in your heart. We all struggle with favoritism. And those two brothers had issues. And it wasn't all their fault. Mom planned for the younger brother to steal the older brother's birthright. Because mom knew that the dad, before he died, would bless the oldest son. The oldest son that was going to leave the home always got like the first inheritances. Just like every home should. We should help our kids as they grow up one by one. But nowadays, a young one leaves and the middle one leaves. And it's not that it's not biblical, which it isn't. But the older one should always get the first blessing as they leave their home. And it didn't work this way. Mom told the younger son, look, just do what I tell you. We're going to rip off your older brother's birthright, and we're going to get the blessing and forget him. She favored the younger son. The dad loved the older son. Because he was a hunter. And men back then is probably like football today. Again, I explained this to my wife this morning. It's kind of like this. I go, honey, because she was like, what do you mean? Okay, let's I have two sons. And of course, I'm a drummer. And one of them's a drummer. He grew up playing drums. Another one wants to be a doctor. Which one do you think I'm going to take more interest in? In the things I like. I'm going to choose the son that does what I like. Sometimes we choose the son or daughter that are like us. And that's what needs to stop. That's where you need to say, no, I need to let them grow up to who they want to be, not who I want them to be, or favor them because they do what you like. See, that's where we make the mistake. That's where favoritism will grow, and it grows like a root in the ground, and it grows deep, and it's hard to break sometimes. Because when I finally let go of my biological daughter in my heart praying one afternoon in my room, I was shaking and crying, and I could literally feel God just let her go, man. You got two more daughters, and you're going to love them the same. And it hurt, and I cried. This went on for about half an hour. My wife and my girls were gone. I went straight to the bedroom. For some reason, got on my knees and started crying to God. He called me to pray. I didn't want to pray that afternoon. I just got home from work tired. He drew me to my knees, and I just, for some reason, started praying. And I could see the picture of my daughter and my two stepdaughters, and he literally pulled her out of me in the spiritual realm. He let me release that favoritism I had over my own daughter. See? God needs to tear some chains. We come with generational curses that need to be broken. And they could only be done through prayer and practicing what God's word says. Maybe you just have one child. Well, love on them and teach them the best things you can from God's word. But if you have several, love them the same. Adults, love them the same. And young ones that you have, older brothers or sisters, it's cool to want to be like them. Be yourself, though. Seek what you want to do in life, what you will like, and pray to God, and he'll give you the favor. In other words, you'll please him when you live for him, and he'll bless you in what you want to do. I've always wanted to preach. I've never been to a seminar like Jerry and Jeremiah. These guys, I respect them so much because they're studied. They went to colleges. I just love God and like to talk a lot. But all I know how to talk now is God. I just started studying and looking up Hebrew words and commentaries. And I said, Lord, I want to speak one day. Use me. I want people to understand what you want to tell them. And it's awesome. I told my wife, I love God's word. She just laughs because I get so excited. I almost jumped on my kitchen table this morning. I'm so pumped up. Even with the cold. My flesh kept saying all week, you're sick. You're not going to talk. You're going to be having stuff flying. God had a different plan. And he'll do it in your life. He wants you to not favor and love everyone the same. Christ died for us all. He only died for certain people, for a certain race or a certain nation. That's why Christ had to come. So you kind of get the glimpse. That's why God came into the world for everyone to be saved. Because, yeah, salvation was first for the Jews, the Israelites. But God said, no, I got a better plan. Right smack in the middle of life, I'm going to send my son. And I'm going to love you all. And you're all going to be my children. I'm going to adopt you as my children as well. He grafted us in to the family of God. We weren't in his plan, folks. Guess where we were going to go when we died? But God's love is so immense because God doesn't favor people. He is not a favorable God. He loves everyone without partiality. God doesn't play favorites, brothers and sisters. So what does that mean? Why do I say that? We shouldn't. Shame on us. We should not play favorites either. And again, you want to learn about it? Read in the scriptures. Type in favoritism. Type in divisions. The word will tell you. My wife tells me sometimes, where do you get all this? Let me go pull out the scripture. This is where I want to tell you. This is what I want to learn. There's another story where Jacob and Rachel created rivals between their sons as well. Jacob's favoritism for Joseph. There's a story of Joseph the dreamer, where the dad favored just him other than his other 11 sons. He made him a real nice robe, and he was always with him, and he would send the other boys to work in the field. Guess what happened to the older brothers? They grew up to hate their little brother. And little brother wanted to hang out with the older brothers, but they hated him because they saw dad favoring him more than everyone else. I know without a doubt, my stepdaughters, my daughters now, never told me or confessed, but I know they saw my favoritism over to my own daughter. They were too little, of course, to tell me, but I know I hurt them. And as the years progressed, I apologized, and I loved them the same. And I started working on it. And now they were kind of happy they got to know a real dad. Because they didn't have a dad in their lives growing up. I was it. And the sad thing was, I was a favorable father. Favoring my own daughter over them. But like I said, in God's time, he started working on me. And he wants to work on you. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. It's right there. No, Frank, I don't think you're right. Well, take it up with God. And when you get to heaven, ask Peter what was going on. He said it. I realize how true it is. But accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. There it is. I said it in the beginning. The kind of favor God talks about is one that pleases him. Not favoritism, not choosing one over the other. Please God first. Live for the Lord. Keep him in mind first. Keep him in front. Look at the next scripture. Look what it says here. For God does not show favoritism, Romans 2:11. If you're having a hard time understanding this or not grasping what I'm to write them down, go home and read them over and over. They're right there. God does not show favoritism. We shouldn't either. Look at James 2:1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, what? Do not show favoritism. When I started reading these verses back when he spoke to me about my daughter and my two stepdaughters, boy, did the hammer come down. It was painful. I was thinking, how can I tell my daughter? I raised her, and she's 9 now, and I have to tell her, I have 2 little sisters for her now. It hurt her. She cried and said, why, Daddy? You're my daddy. I am, mija. But I have 2 new ones now, and we need to show them the love of a dad and of a sister. It's not going to be easy, folks. And I will not cry. I'm a real big crybaby. But I've preached this one several times to let God's Spirit flow and speak to your heart about favoritism. And if you're being favored right now over another one, it's okay. It's going to be okay. But if you pray, young ones, if you pray and you see God's favor to please him, you'll see him work. I can't share something personal right now, but I'm going to beat around it. I've been praying for one of my daughters. And I heard something this morning, and he answered my prayer that I have been praying for 3 months now. God spoke to her. I was praying something, and she lived it, and I found out about it this morning. Amen? Because I'm not focusing on what's going on. I'm just, God, help her. Show her. Help me. You taught me about favoritism. You took it from me, and you're working on it me daily. Because get this. This is going to shock some of you. This is the last one, and I'm almost done. I didn't know this till I read it the other night. Because I get into my studies, folks. Trust me. Favoritism is sin. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Kind of had a hunch. I believe it's the last scripture. Jerry, did that one make it in there? Look what it says. James 2:8-9. Write this one down. If you really keep the royal law, following Christ, being a believer, found in scripture, if you're reading and studying, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' words. It's back after he died, but James, his brother, was preaching it. You are doing right, but if you show what? Favoritism, you what? Sin. And I convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Wow. That's where I got excited. I said, God, I used to be on the other side of the law. Probably Jerry's seen me in my past and recognized because I looked so ugly and weird and funny. Long hair, earring. I was in trouble, in jail, and getting all the time in trouble. Go to the police station. Jail time. Maybe you have seen me. I was a really weird looking guy, Jerry. I still am, but with no hair this time. I was a lawbreaker. And I still am, and we still are. But God wants to work on it. See, we need to break those chains, and only you can. Only you can break those chains, and God will do it. You know why I firmly believe that? Because what I've heard this morning, I told that person, oh, man, really? I've been praying for that person for every day till today for 3 months faithfully. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you heard my prayer. Don't forget to thank him when you hear that God's prayers are being heard when you're here. He's hearing your prayers. Thank him, man. Do the David dance. I dance like David, man. Talking about dancing, I went to a wedding last night. My nephew got married, and they're not saved. And after a while, me and my wife said, we got to go. We're sitting right by the dance floor. And I was like, okay, my foot started doing this. I go, it's time to go. Christians can dance, you know, just do it decently. When David danced, the Bible says it's a Hebrew word for spinning. And I dance to the Lord. Me and my wife get funny in our living room sometimes. I get home from work, she's cranking her. I got her cereal for her birthday, a little CD player, and she's cranking it. So I get there, and she's praising God. What? I don't know. How was your day? Okay. We're yelling. Oh, let's lower the music. Please God. But without favoritism. Work on it. He loves us, guys. He wants us to stop favoring. It's wrong. It's not Christian-like. And again, young ones, if you're being favored right now, trust me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God's going to fix it, but on his time. But you need to live to please him first. get that favor. Don't get the favoritism we know in the flesh. See God's favor as kane. Please him. Remember kane. Please him. That's the favor we want from the Lord. Amen. If the worship team would come up. And I'll just close in prayer. I'll stop there. So this morning, if you're just struggling, maybe it's not favoritism. I don't know what it could be. God wants to help you. I really need help with my cold right now. Pray for me that this cold leaves. But if you're here this morning and you do struggle with favoritism, just pray. Because God loves you. And he's going to heal it. And he'll take it out. He'll rip it out if he has to, like he did with me. He had to rip out that favoritism I had for my daughter. And that Jeremiah 23:29 comes to mind every time. He had to take the hammer to my life and chisel it out of me. Have I got it down yet? No. Am I working on it every day? Let's pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You